Today's shiur is Masechta Erev and Daf Ayin. We will begin on Daf Samach Tesam Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes the words of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, Echad Noisim Rishus, one person could cede his rights in the Chatzar, the Noitel Rishus, and a person, and he could be, his rights can be ceded to him. The rights of the other members of the Chatzar can be ceded to him. Ask the Gemara Sulamali, why did the Mishnah have to teach us this din? Isn't this, well, haven't we learned all of these halachas already in the Mishnah? Because inoisin, if to teach us that the halacha is that one person can give up his rights, tanina, it said in our Mishnah, shalhem mutarim loyulahem, he could give up his rights, and then his chatzah is mutar to all of them. Inoitel, and if to teach us the halacha that you could give up the rights that the other members of the Chatzar can give up their rights to him, that also to need them. We've also learned in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Nosn lay Rishusoim, if they gave him Rishus, hum mutar v'hein asurim. So we see that the other neighbors can give up their Rishus to him. So why did the Mishnah have to teach us the din again of Echad Noisn Rishus v'Noitel Rishus? Answers the Gemara Seifetz Trichalei. The reason the Mishnah repeated this halacha is for what we're going to learn in as the Mishnah continues, to teach us Shnayim, the Noisn Rishus, to teach us that if two people forgot to participate in the Erev, they too could give up their rights in the Chatzar. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Pshita, that halacha that two people could give up the right, is obvious. It says, Nosnu loy rishuson, if the Mishnah taught us a halacha, that if they gave up their rights to him, hu mutar v'hein asurim. So we see that two people, it's not just one person could cede rights, it's that even two people could cede rights. So back to our original question, why did the Mishnah have to teach us this din? Answers the Gemara, Madutayma, Ligzer. We would perhaps think that two people cannot give up their rights to a yachid, dem asal v'tul elahu, because we're concerned that from this a mistake can be made, that and we'll say that just like two people who did not participate in the Erev could give up their rights to the individual to the other individual, so too a individual could give up their rights, give up his rights to two members of the Chatzar who did not participate in the Erev. But we learned, and we're going to actually learn it again in Mitzvah Shem today in our Shir, that actually is not halachically acceptable, and that you can't give up the rights to two people. Kamash Milan, that's why the Mishnah had to teach us that even though two could give to one, one cannot give up to two. We learned in the Mishnah, Vein Noitel Rishus. So again, ask the Gemara, Lomeli, why did the Mishnah have to teach us this din? The fact that the Mishnah taught us that if there are two people who did not participate in the Erev, we can't be Mevatel Rishus to them because these two individuals create Oisrim Zelze, create an Isra on each other. So why does the Mishnah say this halacha that you can't give up rishus to two people? Answers the Gemara, loy tzricha. The Mishnah is coming to teach us even a deeper halacha. Davgav de Amrilei, the people of the Chatzar who are bimavatal the rishus to one of the two individuals who did not participate in the Erev, kani amanas lahaknas, we're giving up our rights in the Chatzar to you that you will ultimately give up the rights that you have, plus the rights that you just received to this other individual who didn't participate in the Erev. So we would think under those circumstances that it's ultimately going to be a situation where everybody's being mevatel rishus just to one individual, because this individual that they were first mevatel to is acting as a shliach for them and for the person to which ultimately all of the bittul rishus will be directed to. That's why our Mishnah says that since that after the first bittul, You have to have two steps. First, you have to have the bittul of all the other neighbors to this individual. And then you have to have the bittul of this individual to the other neighbor. So since there was a time, as we discussed in yesterday's shiur, that they were still, even after the bittul, they still weren't, it wasn't effective. That's why such a bittul is never effective. Ask the Gemara, Bar Minei Abaye Mirabba. Chamisha Shishruim B'chotzer Achas. You have five neighbors that all live in one chotzer. V'shachar Echad V'loy Erev. And one of them did not participate in the Erev. Shemavat L'shusay. So we've been learning many times, most notably in the Mishnah on Daf Samach Tes on the Beis. Shemavat L'shusay. That Bittul Rishus is an option for this person who did not participate in the Erev. Ask the Gemara, Tzorach Levatul Kol Echad V'Echad. Does Bittul have to be done to each member of the Chatzur individually? Oiloi. Or is it sufficient that you Mevatul Rishus to one of the people who are living in this Chatzur? But, and now, since they're all connected anyway, because all the other people who are living in this chatzur made an erev together, since they all are connected anyway, so being mevatel rishus just to one of the neighbors is adequate. Amale, so Rava responded, Tzorach levatel rishus l'kalecha v'echad, you have to make a separate bittul rishus to every individual in separately. So we have here, as we're going to begin, a machlaikas, Abayim v'Rava, if bittul has to be done to everybody, or one bittul to one, or a bittul to one member of the chatzur is sufficient. Rashi explains that, as we just explained a moment ago, why would one bittul be adequate? Because since all these neighbors anyway made an Erev together. So since they made an Erev together, they're already considered as one unit. So when you mevatel rishus to one of them, it's like you mevatel rishus to the entire group. Rashi, actually, earlier in the Masechta, that's how Rashi in our sugya learns. Rashi, earlier in the Masechta, had a different svara. Because Rashi says, maybe what being mevatel rishus, the reason being mevatel rishus to one person is enough, is because we could assume that if you mevatel rishus to one of the members of the chatzur, it's as if you're really intending to mevatel to all the members of the chatzur, and you just didn't express what you meant, but you really meant to mevatel rishus to everybody. But as we just learned, Rava's opinion is that you have to mevatel rishus to all the members of the chatzur. And in fact, if you were only mevatel rishus to one of the members or some of the members, the bittul is not valid. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that even though you were mevatel rishus to someone who made an erev with someone else, because if you didn't make bittul rishus to everyone, you didn't treat everyone the same way. And if you didn't treat everyone the same way, that bittul is not adequate. However, Rashi does say that saying Rishusi Muvatelis L'Kulchem, even though you didn't mention each member of the Chatzar, you just made this broad statement of Rishusi Muvatelis L'Kulchem, is sufficient. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says that when Rabban Al Gemara says that you have to make a separate bittul to every person, he is of the opinion that broad statements will not do what is not an adequate bittul. And the Taz explains the opinion of the Rambam, because he says that when somebody uses the wording of Rishusim Vutalis L'Kulchem, since we know throughout Halacha there's a concept of Rubika Kuloi, so when you say Kulchem, it did not necessarily mean every individual in the Chatzar. Because since when you use the word Kulchem, it only may mean Rubam, the Roiv of the people of the Chatzar. So unless he explicitly is Mevatel Rishus to each member individually, says the Taz in explaining the Rambam, we can't be sure that he meant to be mevatel to each and every member of the chatzar. However, explained the Achrayim, that what happens if there are only two members who made the Erev? And I'm being mevatel reshus to those two individuals. So now, the word kulchem, even according to the Rambam, would be sufficient. Because if I wanted only to be mevatel reshus to one of those two people who participated in the Erev, I shouldn't have said kulchem. I should have singled them out. And if I said kulchem, I obviously mean more than one individual. It must mean that I mean two individuals. Who are the two individuals? The two individuals that are the who are the neighbors who participated in the Erev. In other words, even though we have Machlokes Rashi and Rambam, if somebody says Rishosim Mevatelus L'Kulchem, everybody will agree that if there are only two people that I have to be Mevat Rishos to, that will be sufficient. On Rosh Hashanah, we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say Meloich Al Kol Olam Kulay. The Taz says that what we just learned from the Rambam is the reason why we use that wording, which seems to be a redundant wording. We say Kol Olam Kulay. He says because if we would only say Kol Olam, we would maybe be concerned that what we mean to say is kol ha'olam, but not kulay, not the entire, not and it's only rubrika kulay. To avoid that type of a misinterpretation, we go out of our way and we say kol ha'olam kulay. Ask the Gemara. So Abaya is going to now begin to ask a question from Rabba. How can you say, why do you say that bittul is required to every individual separately? And first, the Gemara quotes a brisa, which speaks about many different situations where bittul reshus was being done. And then the Gemara is going to analyze the brisa, particularly in the framework of seeing how we could use this brisa to know what the halacha is regarding bittul reshus. Do you have to do a separate bittul reshus to everybody or not? Eisvei, the brisa says, Echad shloi irif, Nosan Rishus Lachat Sheirif. If somebody who did not participate in the Erev was Mevatel Rishus to somebody who did participate. Vishnaim Sheirvu, or two people who did participate in the Erev, Nosan Rishus Lachat, Ki Mevatel Rishus to the person Shloi Erev that did not participate in the Erev. Vishnaim Shloi Irvu, two people who did not participate in the Erev, Nosan Rishuson, they can be mevatel reshus l'shnayim she'irvu to two people who did participate in the Erev, or the two people who did not participate in the Erev can be mevatel reshus l'echad shloi Erev to the one person who did not participate in the Erev. Continue. In all these cases, it was an effective bittul. Now the Braisa begins to discuss situations where bittul is not effective. Avloi echad she'irv, somebody who did participate in the Erev cannot be mevatel. Somebody who did join in the Erev cannot give over his bittul reshus lechet shloi Erev, because there are other people who did not participate in the Erev. So you mevatel reshus only to one person who didn't participate in the Erev, but there are still other neighbors to take into consideration here. Vein shnayim she'irvu, this we spoke about this halacha earlier in today's shir. Two people who participate in the Erev cannot be mevatel reshus l'shnayim shlo'irvu. We spoke about this halacha a little while ago in today's shir and in yesterday's shir as well. Vein shnayim shlo'irvu, and two people who do not participate cannot be mevatel reshus l'shnayim. Ein shnayim shlo'irvu noisem reshus l'shnayim shlo'irvu. They can't be mevatel reshus to two others who did not participate. These are the various halachas that the Braisa speaks about where bittul is effective, where bittul is not effective. So now Abai gets to the point. Tanami is Reisha. What didn't say in the Reisha? Echad shloi Erev, somebody who did not participate in the Erev, noisen reshus lachach Erev, could be mevatel reshus to somebody who did participate. Ask the Mara Hechidami, exactly help us understand what is the story here. Either like Echrina, Badei, if there are only two people here, how can we say Bahadiman Erev? We're saying that the person who did not participate was Mavatl Rishus to the person who did participate. But it says it in a Loshon Yachid. It seems that there's only one person, there's only one other person here. You can't make an Erev with only one person. El Pshita, what must it be? Dika Achrinim Badei, that there is someone else here. There's more than one person, and they participated besides the person who did not participate in the Erev. And what is the Braisa teaching us? V'ktani lechet she'erev. And the Braisa is teaching us that if you're a Mevatel Rishus just to one of the people who participated in the Erev, even though you weren't Mevatel Rishus to every one of the people who participated in the Erev, it's sufficient. Because like a buyer holds, you don't have to be Mevatel Rishus to everybody separately. Rabbah, who, as we said, does hold that you have to be Mevatel Rishus to every person individually, how will he understand this braisa? Answers the Gemara, Hachabai Skinan, the half of a miss. We're referring to a situation where there was individual, there were more than one individual, but then he passed away. Now, the question is, that Tosfos discusses, if there was one more than one neighbor in this chotzer as Shabbos began, and made the Erev effective, why when he dies does that Erev fall away? Haven't we learned that the Erev remains for the duration of Shabbos? Aren't we going to learn later in the Shia today that a Yoyrish, that an heir takes over the Erev that was made by the person who he's inheriting from? So Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil, the Hava, says we're not talking about a regular chatzar. We're talking about a group that got together in the midbar on the road. And there, when somebody who was part of that group passes away, then his rishus falls away, and his rishus doesn't go to his yorshim. Tosfos, the very maskil hacha, says there's no reason Rashi had to say this pshat. Because according to Tosfos, the only time a yorish, as we're going to discuss later in our shir, becomes an issue is if he wants to take his shir in the chatzar. But if the yorish is not at this point interested in taking his shir, he's certainly not a factor. And therefore, this person died, and because he died, his Yoyrish isn't here to take his place, we now only have one person. But now ask the Gemara, let's understand what happened. Either have a umis, that means if there was a person that participated in the Erev and he died, so let's learn the Braisa further. Eimah Sefer, the Braisa further in the second part of the Braisa taught us, Avil Ein Echad She'erev, Noisen Rishus Lechad Shelo Erev. Somebody who did participate in the Erev can't be Mevatel Rishus to the person who was not Mevatel. Ask the Gemara, E the Havah Miss, if we're talking about a case that we started with two people who participated in the Erev and one of them passed away, so my loy, why could the remaining living person not be Mevatel Rishus to the other person who wasn't part of the Erev? Now all we have in this chatzar, the way we need to understand the Gemara, is we started with a chatzar of three people. Two of them participated in the Erev. One passed away. And the one who is still alive, who was part of the Erev, but now he's the only. Now there are only two neighbors here. Why can't he be Mevatel Rishus to the person to the other person? It's a classical example of one person being Mevatel Rishus to another person. El Pshita, we have to say that the two people who participated in the Erev are both alive, and now we want that the two should be Mevatel Rishus to the one. And if we're saying that that's the case in the next part of the Mishnah, it was saying that that's the case, Umed Sefer Isay, it was saying that he's that's the case, Reishanami, you see, that he's still alive. So why is, how are we saying that the Brisa is speaking about that he died? Answers the Gemara by the area. Why is that a question? Hakadisa v'akadisa. The first case of the Brisa indeed spoke about a case where we started with two people in an Erev and now one of them died. The second part of the Brisa doesn't speak about that. And Baruch Hashem, both of them are still alive, and we're speaking about a case where where one of the two is being mevatel reshus to the person who didn't participate, but not the other one. Teda, and I'll show you, says the Gemara, a raya, that that's the right way to learn the Brisa. The Tani Sefer Dereisha, and we look at the end of the first part of the Brisa, v'shnayim shloi irvu, two who did not participate in the Erev, noisten reshus and l'shnayim she'ervoi, could be mevatel reshus to two who did participate in Erev. The dik is l'shnayim in, when you have two people that participated in Erev, there you could give the reshus, not to two, to both of them and not just to one of them. So we see that you have to be mevatel reshus l'shnayim, to each one of the people that are here, and bitl reshus is inadequate if you're trying to be mevatel reshus just to one of the people and rely, as we said earlier in our shir, that he should be the shliach for everyone who made the heirs. V'bai Eimer, so isn't this a great raya to Rava's position that when you do bitl reshus, you need to do bitl reshus to everyone? Answers, how will Abaya, who says the bitl reshus to only one of the people is sufficient, defend himself? Abaya, mamay l'shnayim, when the Brisa used the word l'shnayim, it doesn't mean each one of the two. It means lech m'shnayim. You have two people who participated in the Erev, and you are now going to do bitl reshus. And the halach is you need to do bitl reshus to one of those two. Yochi asked Abaya, ask the Gemara, if that's what the Brisa meant, listen, so the Brisa should have said, le'echet she'irev, or le'echet shloil irev. When, why does the Brisa differentiate between the one who did make the Erev and the one that didn't make the Erev? Why, the Brisa should have just said that you make a bittel to one of the people who participated in the Erev, or you could do the vice versa, says the Gemara Kasha. That indeed is a question on Abaya, that according to Abaya, that's what the Brisa should have used. But as we've said many times, there's a difference when the Gemara uses the word Kasha versus when the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta. When the Gemara uses the word Kasha, it means there's a question, but it has an answer. When the Gemara says Tiyufta, there's no answer. And the reason I saw that the Taras Chaim explains, because in other cases, this is the proper wording. So that's why the Brisa used it here, even though it didn't really need to. The Gemara continues in analyzing the Brisa in the view, based on the views of Abai and Rava. We learned in the Brisa, Echad Shloi Erev, Noisin Lechad She'erev. The one who did not participate in the Erev, Kimavatl Rishos, to somebody who did. Labaya, according to Baya, it's very easy to understand what the Brisa means. There's more than one person that participated in the Erev, but the Brisa is teaching us that when you do Bittel Rishus, it's enough to do Bittel Rishus just to any one of the members who joined in the Erev. Rabba, who says you have to do Bittel Rishus, how does he explain this? The Hava Umis, again, we're speaking about a case where there were two people who participated in the Erev, and one died. In such a case, you only have to do Bittel Rishus to the person who's still here. That's obvious. The other person is not here. I can't do Bittel Rishus to him. So the Rav Gozer, Rava said the Brisa is teaching us that we don't have to be worried that maybe he would, if we're going to do Bittel Rishus only to the survivor, that even when Baruch Shem both are here, you're only going to do Bittel Rishus to one of them. We don't have to make a gzera. The next rule was Shnaim She'irvu, two people who participated in Erev, Nois Rishus Lechat Shalai Erev, Kimavat Rishus to the one person who didn't. Ask them a pshita. Why should this not be fine? Answers the Gemara Matatim, Kim Delay Irif. We would think, since this person, we have here a chatzar. Again, two people, it could be more than two, but we're using our example, participated in the Erev. One did not. And now, the one who didn't participate in the Erev ends up being, so to speak, the winner, because the people who participated are being mevatel rishus to him. And maybe Chazal are not satisfied with that. Likna say, maybe he deserves a knas for not having participated in the Erev. K'mashmon, Chazal did not make such a gzera. The Braisa taught us, by Shnaim Shloi Irvu, two people who did not participate in the Erev, Nois Noshnus Shnaim Sherva. So explains the Gemara what was the purpose of teaching each one of these halacha. L'Rava Tana Seif L'Glu Reisha. According to Rava, Rava learned from this case that two neighbors who did not join in the Erev have to Mevatel Rishus to both of the people who did join in the Erev. So the first halacha in the Braisa, which says the bittul is done to only one of the neighbors, must be a case like Rav is explaining that the other one passed away. Tana seifa legalu l'resha. Labaya beish lo irva istrichalei. The baya, the chiddush of this case is, salkadat chamina dama osu levatula lehu. As we've learned more than once in today's shir, the two people who did not participate in the Erev can be mevatel rishus to the others who did participate in the Erev. But the people who participated in the Erev can only be mevatel rishus to one person. They cannot be mevatel rishus to two neighbors who did not participate. And therefore, maybe just like you can't be mevatel to two or more, maybe two or more chazal made exeris should not be able to be mevatel either. K'mashmon, you can't be mevatel to them, but they can be mevatel to people who participated in the Erev. Oy lechet shel Erev, the Braisa then taught us, two people who did not join in the Erev could be mevatel rishus to somebody who did not participate in the Erev. Lamali, if two people could be mevatel rishus to two people who joined in the Erev, they certainly should be able to mevatel rishus to one person who's left in the chatzor. Answers the Gemara, we would think, maybe, that when is bittul rishus an option? Some people participated in the Erev, and some people didn't participate in the Erev. But there was an Erev made in this chotzer. Here we're speaking about a situation, again, the simplest example I could come up with, is you have three neighbors, none of them participated in the Erev, and the Bryce is teaching us that the two of these individuals who did not participate in the Erev, can be mevatel de rishus to the third neighbor, who also, there's no Erev, did not participate in the Erev. And we would think that the only time Chazal allowed bittul rishus is in a chatzah where there was at least some sort of an Erev chatzeris made. But in a chatzah where there was no Erev chatzeris made, maybe, avalhechen de kulun lai irvu, litnasei, shloi tishtakach teres Erev, maybe Chazal was strict and said in such a place where people are not making Erevin, we're going to be stricter. K'mashmalon, the Chazal did not make such a gzera. But we learned further in the Braisa. The Gemara now starts focusing on the second part of the Braisa, where the bittul rishus is not effective. So we learned, Aval ein echad she'erev, noisen rishus alechad shaloy erev. Somebody who did not, somebody who made an erev, cannot make be mevatel rishus to the person who did not participate in the Erev. So Labaya, so according to Abaya, who holds that you don't have to be mevatel rishus to each one of the members of the chatzor, what the Braisa is teaching us is that when the Braisa uses the word la'echad she'erev, it doesn't mean that there's only one person. It means that there's more than one person, and you only did bittul rishus to one of them. And the Braisa is coming to teach us that if two people made an Erev, they can't be mevatel rishus to the one person who didn't make the Erev, even though it's obvious that it's not effective, because only one of the neighbors who participated in the Erev was mevatel rishus, and the other neighbor didn't make bittul rishus. The Braisa is coming to teach us, so it's obvious if not all the neighbors participated, and not all the neighbors who need to participate in the Bittul Rishus, it's an ineffective Bittul Rishus. Why does the Brice have to teach it to us? Tanis Sefer L'Gluy Reisha. The reason it was taught us, to teach us the following halacha. Here, we're speaking about Echad She'erev, that the two people that participated in the Erev, they're both alive. That's why the person, if one, only one of them made the bittel, it's not a good bittel. But if they both would have made the bittel, it would be fine. Or if one of them died and there's only one left, the bittel would be fine. The Rava, but according to Rava, that you had to mevat l'shus to everybody, and we explained that the Brice is speaking about where two people made the Erev and one died. There's no chiddush in this case, because here nobody died, and you only have one of them doing the bittel rishus. So it's certainly an ineffective bittel rishus. So either Tony Reisha, since the Brice and the Reisha spoke about a case like this, so they're safe where it is effective. Now we want to tell us the flip side where it's not effective. Either Tony Reisha, Tony Nami Seifel. Then the Brice said, the ain't shnayim she'irvu, two people who made an Erev can't give bimvat l'shus to shnayim shloi irvu. Ask the Gemara, hasu lamali, because since, as we learned early, at the beginning of the Shir, if you have two people who didn't participate in the Erev, even though all the people who did participate in the Erev are being mevat l'shus to them, but these two people are oisrim zal zeh, and therefore the bittel is not a valid bittel. Loit Tzrichi, says the Gemara, as we learned earlier, the Bat Lechad Menai L'Chavri, where one of these two people who got the Bittul Rishus, the two people who didn't participate in Erev, first were Mevatel to the two of them, and then one of them was Mevatel to his other neighbor. So at the end of the day, we have one person left standing to whom all the Bittul Rishuyos were directed. Because ultimately all of the Bittul Rishuyos were directed to him. Kamash Malon teaches us the Brisa that that's not effective. And as we explained at the beginning of the Shir, because this really involves two steps. First there was a Bittul to the two people who didn't participate in the Erev. That Bittul alone is inadequate, because Bittul only can have to one person. Yes, now we want to add a second step where that Bittul will now be extended to one individual. But since there was a moment when the Bittul wasn't effective, that Bittul that has a moment that isn't a good Bittul can never be part of a good Bittul. Ven shnayim shloi irvu, two people who were not ma'ariv, noisun shnusun shnayim shloi irvu, two people who didn't participate, knows the way the Posh Pshat and the Brice says, you have four people here. All of them did not make an Erev. And now two of them want to be Matal Rishos to the two others who didn't participate in the Erev. Ask them, this is obvious that it's not effective. Hasu Lamali, you can never do Bittul to two people. When you did the case that we learned at the beginning of the Shir, when you did Bittul to these two people, you did Bittul to one of them, saying, I'm doing Bittul to you, that you should be doing it on behalf of the other person. So ultimately, it all means that I'm doing really Bittul to one person. And still, the halacha is that that's not a valid Bittul. So now, as I said, we're going to speak about the halacha of a Yerush. Ba'amenei Ravim Ram Nachman. Yerush Shemashi Vatal Rishos. Which means, we have a situation where the father had not participated in the Erev, and now, if he was alive, he would be able to do Bittul Rishus, but he didn't. He passed away before he did the Bittul Rishus. Can the Yoirish, his inheritor, take over his position in being able to do Bittul Rishus? So Tosfos explains that it must be speaking about a situation that the Yoirish was there. Because if the Yoirish is not there, then the halacha is that he isn't a factor here. And therefore, we have to be explaining, says Tosfos, that the Yoirish was here for Shabbos, or that the Yoirish lives in this chatzar. Otherwise, there's no question that he isn't able to mevatel rishus. The Rashba and the Ritva, however, disagree. And they say that our Gemara certainly is of the opinion that a Yorish, if our Gemara holds that a Yorish completely takes over his father's place, he takes it over even in a situation where he wasn't there. Furthermore, Tosfos the very masculine Yorish says that if we're talking about a case where the Yorish lived with his father and then his father passed away, that certainly he could do Bitl Rishus. Because when Bitl Rishus is done, you don't necessarily need that the person who owns the house or owns the apartment should do the Bitl Rishus. Anyone who lives in that house or apartment is qualified to do the Bitl Rishus. And he's no different, I saw that the Ritva explains, when we spoke about Schiris from an Akum, he's no different than the Schir of a Lakitoi of an Akum. Says the Gemara. So what is the question? Where the Yairish shows up on Shabbos, could he do Bitl Rishus or not? Heichidi boy l'ruvim et mamotz me'arav, in a situation where an Erev Chatzeris could have been made before Shabbos, batulin namivatel, that's when Bitl is possible. Aval hai, where, as Tosfos learns, he wasn't here before Shabbos. So if he wasn't here before Shabbos, he could not be somebody who participates in the Erev Chatzeris. Aval hai, kim di boy l'ruvim le'atmoil, loy motzin le'arav, he couldn't be part of the Erev Chatzeris. He's not part of this Chatzer. Therefore, loy motzim levatel. So if he can't, somebody who can't be, who couldn't have been part of the Ruvi Chatzeris, cannot also be part of the Bitl Rishus. Adilma, do we say Yorish Karadavuhu? A Yorish is considered a extension of his father. And since a Yorish is considered an extension of his father, then the halacha is that if his father could have done the Ruvi Chatzeris, and since his father could have done the Ruvi Chatzeris, he could also do Bitl Rishus, he gets those rights as well. I saw that the Shukei Chemed says that this concept of Bra Karadavua has significant halachic meaning. He says what we use in halacha, the concept of Bra Karadavua, is not only, he says, in a situation where there's Yerusha, because that's obvious that when there's Yerusha, that's what a Yerusha is all about. But Bra Karadavua, says the Chishuki Chemet, comes to teach us that a son could take over some of his father's rights. He speaks about a situation where there's a gemach, there's a fund that lends money to individuals who are in need of money, and there are a lot of applicants for those loans. And since we have many applicants for the loans, there's a tor who should get, and it's on that basis that people get the funding, get the loan. So let's say somebody's father applied for a loan, and he applied for a loan, but his father was much higher up on the line than he. And then the father passed away. So the question that he discusses is, does the son have the right to take his father's place, so to speak, on the line? He says it's certainly not a situation of Yerusha. Yerusha is an asset that the father had, of course, with very specific rules, and Mitzvah Shem will learn Masechta Bava Basra. Here, he's not really a Yorish. Here we would consider him just being able to take over his father's place on the line. And he suggests that the halachic concept that our Gemara has introduced, a bro karadavua, gives him that right. Now, of course, the question is, why is it called bro karadavua? We want to say a son is an extension of the father. Why is he called karadavua? Karadavua means the feet, the knees. Why is that the way a son is described? So I saw that many Mefarshim explain that we know that a person, while he's alive, is called a Heilich. He's going, because while we're alive, we can keep on doing what we need to do and growing in Avodas Hashem. However, once a person passes away, he's an Oymid. He no longer could do mitzvahs. He's, so to speak, at the Madrega he was when he passed away. However, when a person leaves over children who do what they're supposed to do, and they learn Torah, they do mitzvahs, they say Kaddish for their father, mother, who passed away, it creates that the father, who's no longer in this world, continues to be a Heilich, continues to be going from one Madrega to another Madrega, b'schus of what his children are doing on his behalf. That's why children are called Kara. That's why children are called the legs of the parents. Amalei? So now, again, we have the question, can the Yorish, who only became the Yorish on Shabbos, because that's when his father passed away, do Bittul Rishus? Amalei? So Rav Nachman said, Ani Omer Mevatel. My opinion is that he can do Bittul Rishus. However, Hani Debei Shmuel Tani, the Talmidim and the Yeshiva Shmuel said, Ein Mevatel. So the Gemara tries to analyze Rav Nachman's opinion. Eisvei, the Brisa says, Zeh klal, kol shemutal mitzvah Shabbos, hutal kol Shabbos. Whenever was mutter to carry for part of Shabbos, you could carry for the duration of Shabbos. For kol shenes l'mitzvah Shabbos, but if it became osur, if you couldn't carry for the part of Shabbos, nesel kol Shabbos. Chutz mevatel rishos. Except for the situation of Bittul Rishus, because that's exactly what Bittul Rishus means. Bittul Rishus means, as we keep on repeating, that there was no Eruv HaChetzeris, and therefore if there was no Eruv HaChetzeris, you could not carry here. But Bittul Rishus accomplishes that now you can carry there. So now the Gemara analyzes the Braisa. The Braisa says, Kol Shotel Mitzvah Shabbos, if you could carry there for part of Shabbos, Mutl Chol Shabbos. Then you could carry it for the duration of Shabbos. What does that mean? Kigoyim, we speak about two chatzeris that are next to each other. And as we've discussed more than once, how could these two chatzeris make a ruva chatzeris that you could carry from one chatzot to the other if there's an opening between the two chatzeris? And that's what happened here. The Erev, Derech HaPesach, they made an Erev chatzeris because there was a door between these two chatzeres, the Nistam of Pesach, and then this door fell, the wall, the door collapsed, and it's not there on Shabbos. Ear of Der Chaloyim, or there was a window connecting these two chatzeres, as long as the window was four tefachim by four tefachim, and then during Shabbos, Nistam Chaloyim. So the Brice is teaching us that since at the beginning of Shabbos, this was a valid Ear of Chatzeres, it could be relied on for the duration of Shabbos. But the Braisa began with the word Zeh Klal. And whenever the Braisa begins with the word Zeh Klal, it's coming to teach us another halacha. What's it coming to teach us? L'tzuye, we go back to the first halacha we learned in our Masechta. That in order to carry in a Mavi, you have to have a Lechi Yekaira on the open side to Rosh Hashanah. If you have a Mavi Shenitl Karos of Lechayef, where the Kaira Lechi was removed, as long as it was there at the beginning of Shabbos, it's good for the duration of Shabbos. Then the Braisa said, "Kol shenisa l'metz Shabbos nesel chol Shabbos kula." What is that? It's talking about kigon shnei batim shnei tzid rishus rabim. You have two homes on two sides of rishus rabim, and therefore you couldn't carry from one of them to the other. There was rishus rabim separating them, and then v'kifim nochri mechitza b'Shabbos. Then Akum made the mechitza around this whole area on Shabbos, and as we learned all the way at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Chof, the Kol Mechitza Asuy B'Shabbos, Bein B'Shegi, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Roitzim, Bein B'Oynis, Bein B'Roitzim, Shema Mechitza. So now you are properly encircled. And now these two houses are in one Chatzar. And now we want to do Bittul Rishus. It can't be done. Then, says the Gemara, L'Zeh Klal, and as I saw, the Rashi explains, that the Gemara is applying the word Zeh Klal to both cases of the Mishnah. So again, we want to know what is the Zeh Klal, both cases of the Braisa. What is this Zeh Klal, Rasuyimai? What's it come to teach us? The Suyoi, a situation where you had in a chatzar two Jews and a Nachri, and the Nachri, going back to the beginning of the Perek, did not want to do Schiris Rishos, Umeis Nachri B'Shabbos, and now the Nachri passed away, so he no longer is a factor. But now, the two people who are left, they didn't make an Erev, because the Erev wouldn't have been effective, because the Akum prevented the Erev from being effective. But now they say, well, we're left to these two Jews, let us one be Mevatel Rishos to each other. The halacha is that it's not possible. Since they couldn't have made an Erev, Bein HaShemash is here, you can't do Bitl Rishos. V'ktani, Chutz Mevatel Rishos. We learned only in a case, Kol Sh'nesel Maksah Shabbos, Nesel Chol Shabbos, Chutz Mevatel Rishos. It doesn't say, Chutz Mevatel Rishos V'yoyrish. Iu in, only if the people who were here who could have participated in Erev, or couldn't have participated in Erev, whatever the case is, they can't do Bitl Rishos. But this Lalocha doesn't apply to the Yerush. Ema, says the Gemara, Chutz Mitaris Bitl Rishos. What the Brisa means to say is, that if somebody did not make an Erev, it's somebody who didn't do Bitl Rishos, and now he passed away, and he has a Yerush, there, in such a case, that the Yerush who is in his place can be Mevatel Rishos, because he wasn't here. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei, a different question of Rav Nachman. Echem Nechotzer Shemes V'Nich Rishos Lechem Neshok. If somebody from the Chotzer passed away, and he left his share in the Chotzer to somebody who's going to inherit him, Mibejoim, if he died before Shabbos, Oyser, he becomes a factor. Meshech Shecher, but if this person died after Shabbos began, Eino Oyser, he's not a factor, even though he's now the Yerush. And we see that his becoming a factor during Shabbos is immaterial. Continues the Braisa, Vechem and Ashuk Shemes, if somebody died, somebody who has an apartment in the Schotzer, but he doesn't live here, and he didn't participate in the Erev, but that doesn't bother us, because he doesn't live here. And he died, and now one of the person who inherited him is somebody who lives here. If the person died during the day, an Iser, because he took ownership of that apartment as soon as the person died, and he is a person who participated in the Erev. But if the person died after Shabbos, Iser, he's a factor. Now, the question is, am I Oyser? Levatel, why can he do Bitl Rishos? We're saying that a Yerush, according to Rav Nachman, could do Bitl Rishos on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, that's exactly what the Braisa meant. My Oyser Namidutani, what it meant was, that Achi Yevatel, he has to do Bitl Rishos. He can't make an Erev, because it's too late, it's already Shabbos. And the Braisa is saying that although he can't make an Erev, he can do, under these circumstances, Bitl Rishos.